Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In the seven letters to the churches, there is a command to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Being sensitive to the voice of God will keep our hearts humble. So today we are discussing the heart condition to be ready to receive, ready to repent, and ready to return from where we have gone astray, to be restored in our relationship with the Father. So join in the conversation to find that the point of departure is the point of return. In dissecting the letters to the churches written in Revelation 2 and 3, we found some interesting similarities to our own life, Janie. And the first letter written to Ephesus reveals that they had left their first love. They are commanded to remember from where they had fallen, repent, and return to that love. And that is the very definition of when we say the point of departure is the point of return.
The scripture says that we should seek for what is the beginning. Hold fast to that which was from the beginning. If you've departed, you must return to the beginning, to that point of departure. Now, you may be sorry for your failure, but if you do not return to the beginning, you are not restored. When a Christian declines, they surrender the best bit of truth they have received, and so it can be with the churches, and consequently, there's no restoration until you return to that point of departure.
Wow.
Where did you depart? Where did you fail to completely rely on the Lord Jesus Christ? Where was He the only one that you consulted when you were overwhelmed? When did you start going to other people, other seminars, reading other materials, none of which is wrong unless it replaces your total dependence of surrender on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the principle of going back to what was in the beginning, and we are commanded to hold fast to that which is from the beginning.
Well, that totally makes sense, Janie, because if we're just sorry, then we're not really restored in a relationship. If I'm just sorry, but I'm not repentant of what I've done, then I'm just really sorry I got caught, and I'll end up doing it again.
Well, then, Sharon, another point of the necessity of this is because the Scriptures tells us that our love must be genuine. We can't be having a phony, fake love, meaning when we're around somebody, we're just smiles and great guns and hugs and kisses, and then the minute we walk away from them,
We're rolling our eyes and exhausted from...
That's a phony love.
Okay.
And the Bible has a very good term for phony love. It's called being a hypocrite.
Oh, and we've been accused of being hypocrites.
Because love must be genuine. Now, how is love genuine when I don't feel much for this person? Well, God's love is always a decision.
Right.
It's from His will. He chose to take on the human form and give up His rights because His will knew what was necessary to have a family. God's love is pure. God's love is genuine.
So then it goes back to a heart condition on us because we have the head knowledge of the fact that we're supposed to be loving, and we know what that's supposed to look like on the outside, but we don't really have the heart knowledge of what God's love truly looks like. So that's why our love looks phony, and we're called hypocrites, because we don't have it in our heart. It's a heart condition.
Okay, let's do an example. And anybody listening can try this the next time they're in a group of Christians.
Okay.
Okay? You go to church, and there's some people over here in a little corner that seem to be very busy serving, and they're laughing and joking, but they don't even acknowledge your presence.
Okay.
This is a pattern, and you can sense a departure
from them being what the Bible said to do. Be genuine. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Always have sacrificial love. Always caring more about the other person. Well, no one likes to be rejected.
Right.
So when you know that there is an air of rejection, no matter what the reason, mm-hmm. Now let's bring it back to our heart. Can we go ahead and have true first love when we can look at that person and say, Lord, they're yours. They're in the family. Your same blood was shed for them that was shed for me.
Right.
Now, Father, they are choosing to not set the example that I believe my heart would like to have being in the same family. So, Father, what is it that you would like for me to do to express you to them? And then I can sense a change in my disposition, in my thinking, in what was starting to agitate or irritate. All of a sudden, I can walk up and say that I love you with the love of the Lord.
As you were talking about some of those things, I think about my children and how they can get in this little squabble, one trying to outdo the other, so to speak, or defending themselves in ways that is ugly toward the other sibling. And so you end up having to get on to both of them because of their attitude. Whereas sometimes one of them will rise above and be kind when the other one is being ugly. And so then the one that's being ugly is the one that gets in trouble. And so I think about that with us as a family. You talk about us being a family in our Christian walk. And even though that person is being ugly in rejecting, it is our response that the Lord is looking at as our Father to honor Him.
You know, Sharon, with everyone caring for one another at some angle or some degree as brothers and sisters, we realize that this is easier to adhere to when we have leadership in the church that is setting the tone.
Right.
Sometimes the leaders, and I certainly give them all the slack in the world because of the challenges that they are up against that we never know about.
Right.
But if they have a note of sarcasm in the way they talk, then the sheep take that as an acceptable way to function. Because the shepherd of the sheep is acting that way, not the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, but the under-shepherds that are each called to work within a group of sheep that they have been given.
Well, and the same is true in a family. I mean, there are countless times that my husband and I have said, do we talk to you like that? You don't talk to each other that way. We have not given you that example. Where have you gotten that kind of example to speak that way to each other? That is not allowed in this house. And so there is a standard that the Lord sets for us that He wants us to walk in.
And for not walking away from your first love, we need to be more concerned about what God thinks about us than being concerned about what others think.
Well, and how many hours a day do we actually spend with our Christian family? And the rest of the time, we are out in the world.
So stop and say, are we conditioned to think this more unloving way with one another? Because we are listening to the outside world.
And one way that we can stay connected in that first love is spending time with the Father every day. And so when we are spending time with Him every day, we know what His standard is. We know what He expects of us. We're allowing Him to show us our heart every day, keeping those short accounts, as you have taught us. Turning the point of departure is the point of return. So repenting of those things that have gotten us off track and returning back to those things that that will keep our hearts tender toward Him and toward others.
Well, and I'm going to go back to where we refer at least every other week to Psalms 18, mm-hmm. where we say, Father, show us our hidden faults and our presumptuous ways.
Right.
And if we make that a daily cleansing, it can become a ritual. But if that is truly your heart's desire,
right.
then through the Holy Spirit, the Lord is going to quicken our minds, and we are going to really desire to have a relationship with Him more than anything else.
And you've got to have those ears to hear.
And you've got to have a whole heart. What allowed Joshua and Caleb to survive 40 years in the wilderness where death was around them daily, and they were constantly having to endure and overcome the attitude and the actions of a generation that said, mm-hmm. we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go right. back to our bondage.
And face those people every day with love in their hearts toward them.
You know, Sharon, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 6, let me just read that if I could.
Okay.
It says, love is patient and kind. Those are both positives, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, but love is not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in right. Do you realize out of that whole list, there's only three positives to explain what love is?
I hadn't even thought about that, Janie.
All the rest of them mm-hmm. are negatives, showing us what we need to put away with
right.
and deal with.
So that when we read it, we see ourselves?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, yes, yes, I'm going to have to admit that we probably see the what-nots rather than the mm-hmm. what-to-dos.
Right.
But our hearts, waiting on the Spirit, should say, wow, patient and kind and right. I'm going to start to work on those three things.
Right.
Now, my progress has come by first experiencing the cross and the resurrection.
Yeah.
Because when I stop and meditate on what the Lord Jesus did in being patient with me, still giving me kindness and rejoicing and encouraging me as I chose to know Him, then that lets the cross and the resurrection, because a resurrection made everything that happened at the cross come alive.
Okay.
Then that really lets me know that the way that I can achieve not leaving my first love is to stop and think about the cross, to think about the resurrection, because that's where the release of the power of God is to cause us to be able to reach out in patience, kindness, and honesty. That's the way to love. And by the way, that word patience has to do with people, not circumstances.
Okay.
This word always means being patient with people so that you don't immediately wipe them out or turn them off, but that you are understanding. You can wait patiently and let them work things out.
Oh.
Sometimes you know they've got a problem and mm-hmm. you would like to bawl them out, but the Lord says, no, you come to me in prayer.
Right.
You come to me, let us agree in our hearts, mm-hmm. and then you make the visible expression of what my love is by patiently waiting for them as I am working with them.
So instead of going to people and being critical or ignoring people because they are irritating, we should be praying for them because they are going through things just as we do.
Well, and here is what we go through as we wait patiently. The word patiently means a great suffering, enduring some suffering in order to let people have a chance to work out their problem. This is patience. Kindness means to be courteous and gracious and pleasant to these people while you are exercising your patience with them.
Right.
And that's called love.
Wow.
And that puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because it keeps our focus on the character of God, on His kindness, and He says His mercies are renewed every morning. And I think about in the seasons how God brings fresh bouquets of flowers every spring.
Right.
Okay. And how He shows His kindness when we thirst for Him, but we don't really know how to find Him. And do you know one of the sayings when He was on the cross? He said, "I thirst." And He wants us to have a thirst for Him. And His only way for His thirst to be satisfied was to go through the cross so that He might have the same position and setting that He had as He defeated the enemy, and His thirst was satisfied in having His heart reinstated with Father God. And when we are not walking in the love of God, we thirst and hunger to know His righteousness, or we are choosing to come back under the control of the enemy and our own flesh that'll bring death to us, Sharon.
Right. So true.
So can you think of other ways that we might evidence that we have left our first love so that we can use those as warnings? Like, do you ever go through the day and maybe hours and the Lord never enters your mind?
No.
Well, I don't either. I like to think that I just live in the presence of the throne room because of my own need for grace and help. And I'm always needy, so I just think, I'm just going to go take a seat in the throne room. I'm just going to stay there with an attitude of, Lord, uh-oh, something happened.
Well, and that kind of sounds arrogant, Janie, when I say that. So, I mean...
But for a person who has been broken... And God says He comes near those that have a broken and contrite heart. No, it's not arrogance. It's only arrogance to the ego and the pride that says, you sound like you think you are more advanced than I am. But we know that the Bible teaches us that the Bible teaches us those that are in despair of helplessness and hopelessness and recognize their weakness, that is when the Lord has a freedom to be strength in them. And we know our dependence is from Him.
Right.
So it's not arrogance to admit that we need Him 24/7 and hang out in the throne room.
Right.
All right? And if you want to learn more about hanging out in the throne room, go to Hebrews 4 and read the whole chapter slowly.
Well, Janie, you'd said previously that... the church is the only group of believers that has or ever will have access to the throne room.
Well, the Old Testament saints did not have access to it. The Lord came and spoke with them in different ways through the prophets, and that is how they learned. And then in Hebrews, it tells us in these last days, though, that God speaks through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then in the millennial, for those that believe that there is a literal millennial, He will be here present on earth reigning, and we will have access to Him. Now, Sharon, stop and think. The Lord knows He's got to go away, and He's not going to be with His disciples. And He knows that some of them are going to go through things that happened at the church at Smyrna. And He knows that they're going to be around the seat of Satan. And so isn't it something that He says, I don't want you to get discouraged or overwhelmed. So I am going to be personally available to you in the throne room. And the veil has been rent so that you have access, direct access.
Well, and the thing that impressed me about that is how careless we are in taking advantage of going into the throne room. You know, we basically, you know, we'll say our prayer at mealtime or a prayer at bedtime or prayer when we wake up or prayer before a meeting or prayer at the end of the meeting. And we don't even consider the awesomeness of having the availability to go into the Holy of Holies, into the throne room, and actually talk to the Creator, Father God, the awesomeness in it. And
you know what's doubly awesome?
The magnitude of that.
Is that He's just waiting for us to come. And that if you do a study on the word come in the Scriptures, it is awesome. In fact, we ought to do that one of these days. Just do a mini lesson on how the Lord used the word come. And so now stop and think about the God of creation waiting for us little old people.
Specs.
To come and commune with uh-huh. Him and the delight that it brings to His heart. Mm-hmm. And of course, my flesh wants to say, why in the world would that make your heart happy, Lord? And then He comes back and says, because I created you to be in my family, and a family communicates with mm-hmm. one another.
Yeah.
One of the greatest joys of having a family is the fellowship that a family can have. Right. And I will tell you personally, being an only child, I know the lack of fellowship in a family where mom and dad are pretty well busy with other things, mm-hmm. and there's no one to talk to unless you may be fortunate enough to have a dog or a cat yeah. or a hamster or whatever. Yeah. But I traveled in the back seat of a car, and I had a fishing pole.
Well, and even the dogs and cats don't talk back, just like you know, the doll or teddy bear or whatever a fishing pole, you know, none of it talks back really.
Well, be careful that we have dog lovers listening and they may disagree.
So
okay.
True.
And I will tell you, dogs can give you unconditional acceptance as
yeah,
being
true.
Their master.
Right.
And they will be there for you. They will be loyal. They will be attentive. They will cuddle with you.
Right.
They will give you comfort. Now, that's no replacing for going in the throne room. But it does let us know how much we need to have communication.
Well, but how many times do we use that physical touch, that physical satisfaction to replace going into the throne room?
Well, we like the temporal feel good. Mm-hmm. We like the temporal feel good, and God mm-hmm. is spirit.
Right.
And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we still don't comprehend, having been in these bodies since the day of birth,
mm-hmm.
we don't understand that our spirits are who we really are. Our bodies are a part of that. But
we have to remember that we're citizens of heaven, and the love that God wants us to show others here on this temporal earth is His love, to be an extension of His character.
Now, Sharon, Harry Drummond wrote a book, I guess 1,500 years ago. It was called The Greatest Thing in the World. And he says that no form of vice, not worldliness, not greed or gold or drunkenness itself, does more to unchristianize society than a bad temper. For the embittering life, for breaking up communities, for destroying the most sacred relationships, for devastating homes, withering up men and women, for taking the joy and the bloom off of a child, and in short, the sheer gratuitous, misery-producing power, this influence stands alone in destruction.
Wow.
A bad temper. And you can certainly leave your first love if that is the way you choose to react to situations that come upon us in life.
But there is a remedy, Janie. We can return to the beginning, repent, and be restored. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.